This episode of Knife Talk is sponsored by Tormac, and at the end of the show, I'll be revealing the winner of the Tormac competition. Okay, welcome to Knife Talk. Now, today I'll be speaking with Adam Bracken, who some of you may know as Workerman from Instagram. So welcome to the show, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Not a problem, not a problem. This is a little different to the other shows, as you aren't just a great knife maker. You make all kinds of things. So for those that haven't seen your work, why don't you tell the listeners what you do?
Sure. So I do a little bit of everything. I do knife making. I do a little bit of home product design. I do graphic design. A little bit of t-shirt design, I guess, but not so much. But yeah, I do a little bit of whatever I feel like doing, I guess.
Yeah, cool. So a product designer who just happens to make knives, which is cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So looking at the range of products that you design, and as you say, lighting, clothing, and obviously knives, are you always coming up with new ideas, and do you have to rein yourself in at times?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's like every day I want to do something different, and I've got so many thoughts going through my brain of what I want to do next that I can never really complete a project. You know, I kind of start one and start another, and I come back to it a couple weeks later, and maybe it turns out, maybe it doesn't. Who knows? It's always very loose around my workshop, you know? Yeah. I just sort of flow from one thing to the next, I guess.
There's plenty to think about when you're hand sanding, eh?
Absolutely, yeah. That's for sure.
So have you always been a designer and a maker?
Yeah. For the past, like, 20 years, I've been graphic design. So I've done logos, websites, advertising. I've worked at a lot of agencies around town here in Minnesota. And I guess for the past 5 years, I've done product design. And then for the past two, I've done knife design.
All right. It's a very similar background to myself. I've always worked with sort of digital agencies doing mainly web stuff. But maybe sort of 5-6 years ago, started making more sort of physical products, more sort of electronic-y stuff, like Arduino stuff.
Oh, really?
And then stumbled into making knives. And yeah, it had a grip on me, and I haven't been able to stop.
It's an obsession for sure. I mean, I never thought that I would even be making knives. You know, the first one I did, it literally snowballed into, Googling knife making every day, late at night before I go to bed.
It's crazy. Sickness. A sickness.
It is a sickness. It really is.
So your folding knives, I mean, they're stunningly beautiful. So,
oh, thank you.
When did you make your first knife, and did that look as stunningly beautiful as your current knives?
It did not. It did not. I thought that it did at the time, but the very first one I did, I wouldn't even say that I made the knife. It was basically a new handle for an old knife. And it was for my dad. He's always loved pocket knives. It was his birthday. I think it was maybe 2.5-3 years ago, maybe. And I thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, make him this fancy version of this cheap knife that I had. So I kind of spruced it up a little bit, and he loved it. He showed it to all the neighbors, and they loved it. And that made me feel good. So from there, it just sort of snowballed into, well, maybe I want to make my own design now.
Yeah, yeah. And about just making handles for knives, you've done some collaborations with Nora Knives, haven't you? And the results there are stunning. So how did that come about?
Nora Knives is great. Steve over at Nora, he's the nicest guy ever. He's a wonderful knife maker. I mean, I can't give him enough respect. And just to be full disclosure, he does all of my blades. He does my folding knife blades. And so it's my design, and I send them out to him. He does the water jetting. He does the grinding, the heat treating. And now he just acquired a laser, so he does a little bit of lasering for me.
I'm very jealous of his laser. Some of those etchings on the blades are just incredible.
Oh, yeah. And I used to do a lot of the same stuff, but the local laser guy here in town shut down. They sold their lasers, so now I got to go through Steve.
yeah
But yeah, he's doing some amazing things.
Yeah, cool. So what happens? So he makes the blades, and then you assemble and you do the finishing, that kind of thing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so he grinds them, rough grinds them, sends them to me, and then I do a little bit of finish work on the blades. I do a little bit of, you know, different textures, maybe a stone wash, maybe I do some acid etching, depending on what sort of look I'm going for, or maybe I'll laser them a little bit more, and then I'll come up with a handle design and go from there, just sort of wing it, basically.
We're all winging
yeah.
it.
yeah.
But I've got to say, your resins and your sort of castings, they're just really cool and unique.
I'm really getting into that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've just started sort of stabilizing my own wood, but I haven't actually started making, you know, resins and that kind of thing yet. So so tell us about the process there. Are you using sort of pressure pots and vacuums? What's the...
Yeah, I have two pressure pots, and those are an absolute must. I mean, if you don't want bubbles, if you don't use a pressure pot, it's don't even bother doing it, because once you shape your handle, you're going to have little tiny voids everywhere.
Yeah.
So you have to use a pressure pot. But I mean, resin making is a whole nother rabbit hole to fall down. There's so many different dyes and pigments and techniques to pouring, and so many variables that, you know, it's a blast. It's just as fun as making a knife to me.
Yeah.
You know, coming from an artistic background and a graphic design background, mixing color palettes, and now I'm doing patterns in my resin and adding a little bit more of a graphic element. And it's, I mean, it's unlimited what you can do, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of yours are really beautiful and really unique as well. So there's designs that I haven't seen. So I think...
Thank you, yeah.
If you were here in Europe, I think I'd definitely be buying a boatload from you. Yeah, particularly hey, like that sort of cracked earth resin that you do. It looks like stone, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one's a lot of fun. I'll send you some and you can play with it.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So do you sell resins to knife makers, I assume, scales? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nice. And where can they find them? Where can they buy them from you?
Yeah, I've got a link on my Instagram that goes right to my shop. And most of it is sold out at the moment, mostly because I'm too lazy to update my shop. So normally people just send me a DM through Instagram and say, hey, I like this particular style. Can you do it in a different color, or can you do a different pattern? And we'll sort of work on something from there. I do a lot of custom stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, different patterns or whatever people want.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, just mentioning Instagram then, yeah, obviously you've got a very good following on Instagram. But aside from that, how else do you market the business?
That's pretty much it. Instagram has been huge for me. I mean, that's my number one place that I promote my work. It's pretty much the only place. I don't really have a website besides my online store, which is the only link to my store is through my Instagram. I really need to create a website, but I just don't have time. I haven't gotten around to it yet. But
if everything's sold out, things are going well.
Yeah. Well, it's great, but at the same time, it's bad because I get so many messages from people who are angry that they can't buy anything. And why is everything sold out? I think a lot of people don't understand that my knives are all one of a kind. I don't really like to make the same one more than once.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's another reason, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about your heroes. Who are you looking at on maybe on Instagram or on YouTube and thinking, geez, they're really killing it. I wish I could do that.
Oh, man, there's so many. I think off the top of my head, Mark Weinstock is probably my favorite. He's in Chicago. His style is just so clean, and the way he shoots his knives, too, it just makes him look beautiful. HMC Knives. He's another guy who I don't think he's a full-time knife maker, but he's on Instagram. He makes some very, very sleek-looking folders. Zodiac Engineering. He's another guy who makes really, really clean stuff. I like really modern, clean knives, I guess, which is strange because it's not really what I make. And I guess it's because I don't really have access to the machinery to do what I want to do. So I got to stick with my belt sander, but...
yeah. So why folders then? That's something I'm going to try this week. I'm going to try and make my first folder this week. So,
oh, great.
What got you into that?
Well, that was the first knife I ever made was a folder, the one for my dad.
Oh.
And I guess, you know, a pocket knife is just something you can take with you everywhere, and you can pull it out of your pocket at a party or at a store and show someone who's interested in knives.
What you know, kind of parties do you go to when you pull out
well,
a knife?
Knife parties, you know? You don't go to knife parties? Cutting. I think they're called cutting parties.
Ah, cutting parties. Right. I got
No. I don't know. It's just, you know, if you've got a really fancy, you know, interesting looking piece of art basically in your pocket, you want to show it off, you know,
yes,
just like a kitchen knife, I guess. If someone comes to your house for, you know, a dinner party, hey, look at my fancy kitchen knife that I'm preparing your meal with. It's just something to spark a conversation, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
And, yeah.
Talking about beautiful kitchen knives. So I'm pretty pleased with what I'm making at the moment. I'm thinking, yeah.
They look great. I love your knives.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased with them. But today I received a parcel from Florentine Kitchen Knives.
Oh, man.
And, man, I just need to go back to the drawing board. These things are so beautiful. So beautiful.
I can't believe I didn't mention him as one of my inspirations. Florentine is just, hands down, you know, the classiest knife you can probably get.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And everything's just so clean and just the finish. Yeah. Just so perfect. But yeah, so I was nearly crying into a pillow this morning thinking, Jesus, what I'm doing just isn't good enough yet.
what kind did you get? The was it a leather stacked handle?
The leather and the leather and wood. Just the brown and black as opposed to the colours.
Very jealous.
So a set of the steak knives, which come in twos, and one of the chef knives then as well. Just beautiful, beautiful things.
Mm. Awesome.
So what's your biggest challenge at the moment? That one thing that you're really struggling with and you know you could do better at?
Well, the biggest challenge at the moment, I'm trying to make a locking knife. I've never done a locking folding knife and it's a headache. I mean, I have no idea what I'm doing. I've done a couple collaborations with people who have, we've made locking knives, but I still can't really wrap my head around how to do it. And I don't know if I'm just too dumb to do it or what, but I have to do it.
Yeah. You know, that's something that we don't really see over here in Europe much, locking knives, because they're they're illegal to carry.
Really?
Yes. So they don't really sell them in stores and so on.
So your folding knife that you're making now, is it going to be a friction folder?
It's going to be a friction folder, yes. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. A bit simpler to make, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, but they're a lot of fun. Friction folders are great. You know, a lot of people don't make them, I think, because they think they're too simple, but that's sort of the beauty, that is the simplicity. And they're really not too difficult.
Well, let's see how I get on this time Friday.
Sure.
I'm banging my head against a wall. So back to yourself in the shop there. Do you have other people working alongside you, or is it just yourself?
It's just me in my dirty garage and my dirty basement. Yeah, that's about it.
So the big question there is, how do you scale up a business which relies so heavily just on yourself and your own sort of handcrafting?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do now, too. And that's another headache that I'm dealing with, besides trying to make a locking knife, is trying to scale. But right now, you know, I've made probably close to a few hundred folding knives and maybe 100 kitchen knives or so. And I'm getting really tired of being covered in toxic dust, you know, G10 dust and stabilizing dust and resin dust. And it gets everywhere. It gets in the house. I don't have a proper studio. So I'm trying to transition now into, maybe I can just design something that I can have produced by another manufacturer here in the United States. But that's a huge hurdle from what I've been finding out, money-wise and logistically.
Yeah, so, like sort of minimum orders, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I know. And then it's a big leap too, because it's like you said, with a minimum order, some of these places only do 300 knives, you know, and it's like, well, is this design going to sell? Do I want to put the money into it? Yeah, it's a big risk.
Yes, yeah. I'm sort of going through that at the moment with packaging, so I'm just really not happy with the packaging of my knives.
How do you package them?
At the moment, in sort of a Hessian sort of sacking, and then they're sort of leather bound in these sort of leather sort of ties.
Pretty nice to me.
Yeah, so it's okay, but I mean, yeah. I'm getting knives through the post, and they've got this beautiful, beautiful packaging. But because pretty much like you, every knife that I do is different, so I can't have sort of a custom inlay, because I'd need a custom inlay for every single knife. So it's a bit of a challenge. And yeah, the manufacturers that I speak to, they all want sort of minimum orders of sort of 2,000 to 5,000. And it's just like, wow, that's, you know.
That's ridiculous.
That's a career's worth of knives for me, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge of mine that I'm sort of trying to solve at the moment. But until then, people are having them in a Hessian sack with a bit of leather. So how do you price your work? Do you have sort of a formula with the amount of hours you put into a piece times a certain rate?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my prices have definitely gone up, I think, over the past year, just because I've gotten a little bit better at what I'm doing. you know, my first knives, I think the first ones I sold on my website were $45, which was ridiculously low. I probably made like a dollar off of each one. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't think anyone would even want to buy them. But I priced based on a couple factors, I guess. You know, is it a one-of-a-kind material that I'm using for the handle? Is the blade a special process on it? You know, the demand for my work, you know, are people still going to want to purchase it? So the price sort of, it has fluctuated a little bit, but yeah, I guess that's kind of how I price it.
Yeah, it's always a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's, I mean,
it is.
You obviously want to give people value, but you obviously don't want to sell yourself short, and it's, yeah. It's,
yeah, it's that balance. And I will say, you know, my prices are very high. I mean, there's knives out there that are a few thousand dollars. Yes. Those are, you know, expensive knives. I sell mine, I think, right now for about $300 or so, which I can't even afford one of my knives. I don't think I would purchase a $300 knife. I seriously. So I feel bad selling it at that price, but you know, realistically, that's what I have to sell it at to make a little bit of a profit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would love to make a knife that's, you know, under $100, but, and still have some nice design in it. That's sort of, you know, the end goal, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, I think
not going to get there yet.
I think over the last sort of few years that the sort of general public has sort of waken up to the fact that, you know, handmade stuff is, you know, it's labor intensive. It takes a lot of time and, you know,
absolutely.
You know, justifying these prices, I think it's becoming slightly easier.
Absolutely.
I'd like to.
Yeah, I mean, I sweat my butt off, you know, working on these things out in the garage and getting covered in dirt. And I think a lot of people, you know, they don't see what goes on behind the scenes with knife making. It's dirty, you know, and you screw your hands up, you screw your back up, your knees hurt, your feet hurt. Yeah, it's hard work.
Yep, certainly isn't a desk job.
No.
So do you ever worry about sharing your work, knowing that other designers and knife makers will be looking at it and, you know, possibly judging you? Does that ever worry you at all?
You know, it did maybe about a year or so ago. I used to get a lot of messages from people asking, how do you do this? How do you do that? And then I would tell them, and then I'd go check their Instagram a couple weeks later, and they're making basically my knife.
Oh, geez.
And yeah, that's kind of a bad feeling. You know, I want to help people out, but at the same time, you know, this is my living, so I can't really, you know, give you too many hints.
Yes.
But
yeah,
you know, now it's going to happen. You know, people copy and people steal ideas and designs all the time. There's nothing you can do about it. If you put your work out there, it's out there. So I think the best advice I could give someone would be, you know, if someone copies your work, move on to something else, you know, keep moving forward and keep innovating. I guess that's kind of what I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it is a difficult one. I'm about to start a sort of YouTube channel myself where I'm sort of detailing the work going into every knife that I make. And there is that thing that, you know, people can see that and make exact replicas. But at the end of the day, what I'm doing isn't really unique. I'm making a sharp, pointy thing that cuts food. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Anybody can make that, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I just love the community around knife making. The fact that, you know, everybody's there to help each other out and give each other advice. It's, you know, and words of encouragement when you need it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lots of heart emojis and smiley face thumbs up emojis. That always feels good.
It does. So how do you relax away from your workshop when you're not creating things or when you're not dreaming up new ideas for products? How do you try to relax?
Well, I've got a new baby that's 6 months old, so I don't do too much relaxing.
That'll do it. Yeah, that'll definitely.
Yeah. It's basically hang out with the baby or make a knife.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I haven't watched TV in probably over a year. Jeez. So, yeah.
So I'm going to wrap up with a couple of questions that I ask all of the guests.
Okay.
So the first is, what's that one piece of kit in the workshop that you couldn't live without? And until now, everybody has said they grind up, but I've got a feeling it could be slightly different with you.
Let me think. Best piece of kit. Probably my shop vac. I mean, I make such a mess, you know, grinding material away that I'm constantly vacuuming. And I've got all sorts of attachments on it with a little dust cyclone that filters out some of the fine particles. I couldn't live without that thing. I'd probably be dead by now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're anything like me, you've probably got a shopping list as well of a million and one things that you need. Now, you tell yourself you need. You want, but you tell yourself you need. So what's on the top of your shopping list at the moment?
A giant CNC machine. I would love to have some sort of mega CNC that can cut whatever I want and learn how to do CAD and all that. That's kind of what I want to do next.
Have you been looking at the Aaron Goff stuff, some of the stuff that he's doing?
Oh, yeah. I follow him on YouTube. He's awesome.
Incredible stuff. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got basically a one-man factory in his basement. It's just
I don't know how he does it, and his shop looks so clean.
It's like an Apple store. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so aside from some of the great makers you've already mentioned, where do you find your inspiration? And that doesn't have to be with knives; it can be with any of the other products that you make.
I'm inspired by all design. I think graphic design is kind of where I land, you know, mostly. Dieter Rams has been sort of my design hero. Minimalism, very clean, less is more. That's sort of been what I've been trying to do. I don't always stick to that principle, but it's hard to do that. But I think I find inspiration in, you know, graphic design. I mean, I go to the Apple store and look at what they have going on. Yeah, I guess Instagram, obviously. I mean, you could scroll for hours and hours and find stuff.
I do. Believe me, I do.
Yeah.
So if people want to know more about you, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Instagram. WKRMN is my handle. And that's pretty much my only place. I don't have a Facebook or a website. I got an online store, and that's it. Nice and simple.
Great stuff. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with me today. And
thank you very much, Craig.
Yeah, and hopefully we speak again soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so we finally got ourselves a winner of the Tormek competition. So the winner received a Tormek T4 knife sharpening system as well as the full jig set. So I'm really thankful for Tormek for supporting the show and allowing me to give that away as a prize. So we had 555 people entered into the competition. We made the draw live on Instagram, and the winner is Mr. John Boschman. So he's on Instagram, which is made_by_John, and John is just J-O-N. John's from Canada. I know he's already received the Tormek. He's given me an email today. So he's fairly new to knife making, but I'm pretty sure it's gone to a very good home. So thank you very much, John, for entering the competition, and I hope you have many, many years of good use with your Tormek. For those that didn't win, get yourself a Tormek anyway. They're great. So if you go to tormek.com, which is T-O-R-M-E-K.com, and you can learn how to sharpen your knives perfectly with that beautiful repeatable edge. Thank you all for entering.